Save it. There it is. So in this season, I'm learning that when God calls you to do something, he says, his word says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We have been conditioned, like I said, right away, put my hand back there, right away. And I thought about, God, why do we assume that everything you called us to do has to be grievous and hard and troubling and, somehow always think the devil's invited to every God party? I want you to listen to me real close now, because that's a lie that's been propagated through the church, that when God shows up, the devil gonna show up too. And so we just literally by invitation believe that God invites to everything he's doing in our lives. Somebody say, I renounce that right now in Jesus' name. Because God does not invite Satan to the party. He may come, but the Bible tells you to resist him, he will flee, You can put the sector bouncers on them, and they'll get rid of them. They'll put them out. Trust me, they'll get them out. They'll get them out. You don't belong there. You have a right to renounce them, and you have a right to dismiss them. And somebody say, amen. With that said, God said to me, go forward in the thing that I call you to do and ask me for the road of grace, the road of grace. And what I've called you to. I want to say that nice and slow. And you could do it right now. Ask God for whatever you're doing right now. If it seems strenuous to you, ask God to give you the road of grace. There's a road of grace that you are called to that you can have right now. And if you said your yoke is easy and your burden is light, then the things you call me to do should not be something that I struggle with. So I said, God, my health and my fitness is important. Now watch this. I'm doing something outside the work, outside of what I'm doing today, but it's important because I love you guys and I care about you and I want you to know like the things that God leads me to. So I found this app. I think Kwame sent it to me, called Yuka, where you can go to the store with this app and you can scan the barcode on the packages. And it tells you too much salt. This is not good for you. There's so many things that you think is helpful that is absolutely horrible poison for you. And so literally it would scan it. It would tell you that it's no good. And then it would give you it looks like a little carrot on there. If I don't know if you can see it right there at the bottom. And you open it and you can scan your products and it tells you each product. And just some of the stuff, so many of these products that we think are helpful have carcinogens in it, carcinogens, cancer-causing elements in them, bad stuff. So I've been doing that. I've been roller skating because God gave me something now that I love to do, that's fitness. And I'll roller skate for 3 hours straight. It don't even feel like cardio, but it is. Now, saying this to you, I went to the doctor week before last for my physical. I walked in the door. First thing he did, he put out a shot. He said, have you been taking your blood pressure medicine? I said, no. So what do you mean, no? I said, I don't like the side effects and I don't like, what I feel like it's doing to my body. So I decided not to take it. He sighed because he took me off of one drug and lisinopril, and he put me on amodipine. See, I know the name of drugs. How bad is this, right? I said, no, I don't take it. And he did my blood pressure. He did it again. And all the time he's kind of sighing, like he's frustrated with me. And he looked at my blood pressure and he took it again. He said, you don't need to take that stuff anymore. I'm taking you off of it. I said, why? He said, your blood pressure is normal. I said, of course it is, because I'm eating right and I'm doing something to make a difference. Faith with works is alive. When God calls you to do something, there's the grace to do it. You can try to do it in your own power, and you can try to do it in your own pain, and you can try to do it in your own struggle. And thank you, Kwame, for turning me on to the Yuka app because I use it religiously. I don't go to the store without it. I was looking at all the healthy salad dressing last night, and it's like it's a scale of 1 to 100, and most of them were 13 or flat zero. Not good for you. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go home and take some olive oil and some balsamic vinegar and just make my own stuff. I'm not going to. And all of that has changed me so much in a few weeks. But I'm saying this to you not to just tell you my testimony. I'm saying this to you to tell you that everything God calls you to do has a plan attached to it, and there's a grace that can be attached to it if you ask for it and you seek it. There's an ease and a flow that can go with it if you have the audacity to claim it. Am I speaking to you this morning? The blessings of God, all the blessings and the gifts and the callings of God are yay and amen. It's perfect, it's there, it's done. But he said, like, I need you to step into the realm that I've called you to and receive the thing that I've called you to. Somebody, can you just say for me real loud, God wants me blessed. Say, he wants me blessed. He sent his son to die for me so that I can be blessed. Now, you can take that to mean whatever you want. Some people say, oh, so you're talking about money, whatever works for you. Blessed is blessed. But your health should be blessed. With long life, I will satisfy you. That's healthy, not alive on life support, but alive and healthy and healed. That's the children's bread. Somebody say, that's my inheritance. That's my inheritance. So when I'm out there skating with these kids, and you're gonna get to see me one day, or I'm getting real, real nice with it. I'm doing some good stuff. And I'm out here with these guys that's in their 20s, and they're just like, okay, Papa, let's do this thing, And they, when I first came there, they wouldn't even help me. Like, they wouldn't even talk to me. Like, I was like, but when they saw me out on the floor continuing to try and keep going, and all of a sudden they started forming like a circle around me, like, okay, you're part of the team now. They send me text messages, we're gonna be here tonight, we're gonna be there tonight. So I'm telling you, this is the thing that God has for you, but it requires something. And this is where we get to the word that I have for you today. The title of the message is Steadfast. And I know even the blessings of God are something that we have to pursue steadfast. We have to be committed to what God has promised us. And get off of sitting in the corner crying, asking God, where is it? When is it? When is it coming? Where is it? And God is like saying, listen, all my promises are yea and amen. Your receiving is has not been. Let me say that one more time. Come on, come on, come on. Stay with me. Pay attention. All the promises of God are yea and amen, but your receiving has not been. Your believing has not been. Your standing has not been. Your standing has been, well, maybe, well, I sure hope so. Well, if it's in God's will, and God's like, no, my promises are solid. Your ability to receive is not. Let me give you an example. How many of you got some money in the bank? It don't have to be a lot, but you got some money. You go to the bank tomorrow. Walk up, you got your information, you got your card, you put it in the machine, man, put it in the machine again, man. You go inside to the teller. See, sorry, you ain't got no money in here. You're gonna say, well, I guess it's not the Lord's will. I'm just going home. Maybe it's not in this bank. Maybe when I come back tomorrow, it may be here in Jesus' name. Amen. And go home. Just, I really needed that money today, Lord. But you know what's best. You know what's good for me, Lord. If it was your will, the card would have worked. Hallelujah. No, you would stand there flat foot and say, listen, Get your manager, get your manager's mother, get the family, bring the owner of the bank, bring Mr. P, Mr. N, and Mr. C. Bring all of them here because you're gonna give me mine because that's mine. Can somebody say amen to that? That's mine. But when you stand before the forces of darkness trying to tell you the promises of God are not yours, you take this I'll come back tomorrow attitude. I'll let you sit with that for a few seconds. Oh, you hurt, you cry, you call me pastor, will you pray for me that God would just, bless me? And I'm like, he has. He said he did. Yeah, I know, but I just don't know what I'm going to do. Well, you wouldn't call me crying if the bank can give you your money. You would stand and you would be steadfast. And you might catch your attitude and act outside of your Christian behavior for a moment, or you may stand in your Christian behavior, but you're going to stand and say, I will not, listen to me, accept this no as an answer. I will not accept this lack as an answer. You will not turn me away from that which I know belongs to me. Your health and your wealth of spirit, of soul, of everything is either God's promise or it's not. So I'm going to read this definition of steadfast to you, and I want you to listen to this. Firmly loyal or constant. Those are just the first three words. If we looked up each one of these words, it has so much power. Firmly loyal or constant, unwavering, and in the Bible is often referred to as God's unwavering love, faithfulness, and the core for believers to remain firm in their faith despite the challenges. Wait a minute. Be steadfast. Immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Now listen to me and listen to what I'm laying here, because this is not a long message, but it's a strong message. Firm, loyal, constant, unwavering. Firm, loyal, constant, unwavering. Firm, loyal, constant, unwavering. These are attributes of God. Firm, loyal, covenant keeping, constant, he don't change for a thousand generations, and unwavering. These are the attributes of the Father, listen to me close, given to the children through salvation in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand this now. These are attributes of the Father that are passed on to the children that should be acted out of you naturally because they've been given to you. We spend too much time seeking things that are not important instead of the things that are important. The things that you think you need, be it finances, be it your health, be it whatever it needs, peace of your mind, and all this stuff, is not what I'm learning in this season that I should be seeking. I should be seeking the attributes of my Father that are put inside of me that make me now say, I am firm, I am consistent, I am loyal, I am unwavering. I will not move from what God has called me to. And most people will say, amen. Yes. Yes. Even though we still do go the opposite way, it's steadfast is something we should embrace. Now, steadfast in his promise to me is also something that I need to adopt because I won't have to chase God for anything if I align with what his promise says. You sure about that? Well, I don't know that scripture, you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness that Jesus quoted, and all these things will be added unto you. I guess he knew what he was talking about when he said the things don't seek after what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to wear. All these things do the heathen seek. See, before he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, he said that first. Why are you worried about what you're going to eat? Why are you worried? I'm going to tell you why. Because the attributes of your father are things that you're not seeking in terms of steadfastness. You're seeking after the things that come with it. In other words, the older folk would say, some of you may have heard it before, Dr. Wise, you and I are going to know this statement real well. You're putting the cart before the horse. Now, see, a lot of people don't know what that means. I said it to Nellie one time. I said, do you know what that means? And she said, no, not really. It says you're trying to get the horse to push the cart, which never goes well. The horse needs to be in front of the cart, pulling the cart. That's where his strength is, not in pushing the cart. The things that God has called you to have automatic response when you align with the principles that come with them. So if the things of God are pulling the cart gets moved correctly. So if he said to me, I need you to be steadfast, I need you to be unmovable, I need you to stand firm and believe that the things that I've said to you are your guiding light and factors. So when I said to God, God, I'm tired of the weight battle going up and down and the health battle going up and down. And he said, well, because you're seeking after having a certain weight or being healthy instead of standing on the principles of my promise. I told you to seek me for the spirit of ease in the things that I've called you to. I've told you to do that, but you don't. You still try to struggle with it and ask me to give you a hand as you struggle. That's not biblical principle. I never ask you to cast some of your cares on me and keep the rest on yourself, and I'll be there right on time just when you need it before you collapse under the weight of it. I said, casting the whole of your care on me because I am your caretaker. That's the way it reads. It's not because he cares about you. Cast your cares on God because you know he cares. But he said, no, cast care on me because I am your caretaker. I take care of you. No, the Lord helps those who help themselves. Well, that's not in the scripture, and you can live by that law, and that law will blow you wide open because it's not biblically honest. It's just not. He said, faith without works is dead. Well, I got to do the works. What kind of works? The works of steadfastness, the words of standing, the work of standing on its things in the spirit that he's told you to stand on. Your works that you have to do are the works that he's called you to do. And if he said, do this, and you did that, and then you can say, well, God, I did that. Now what? He'll say, then do this. But he's never told you to take on the load of the work. That's not scriptural. Your job is to stand before him, always available to hear the next direction. And this is where I want to bring this message home. We get lost in the move of God because when he tells us to go, we go and we don't stop going and we add this to the go and we add that to the go. And maybe because he told me to do this, then maybe he wants me to do that. Maybe probably, maybe when he said, and God is saying to me over and over, you can do what you want. God said to me over and over, when I give you an instruction, I need you to fulfill that and then be still again. You're moving too much that you can't get my next direction. You're trying to do so much you can't even hear where I'm leading you today. I tell you to do this, and you got to learn to do that. And if you don't see the fruit you are expecting on that move, you stop where you are. You be still and say, Father, what's next? I can't get you back on the path because you go so far off doing so many things. And then this person called you, and then that person called. I chose you to help this person. I didn't say the cousin, the brother, the sister, the uncle. Oh, well, since God sent me to the family, I guess he want me to help the whole family. Did he tell you that? Pool of Bethesda, Jesus walked over every sick person in the place and spoke to one and left. But what about all the other sick people? Not your problem, not mine. It's very important at this time. Steadfastness means you stay the course. You stay focused on what you're told to do. I will ask everybody here before I wrap up, what is the last thing God told you to do? And then I would ask you, as you think about it, how many things have you added to it? How many times, as Nelly has said, did you try to go back to do the old thing because you did the thing he told you to do, but it didn't work like you thought it should? So you abandoned it and went back to doing what you were doing, which you were already unhappy with and miserable about. The thing you said, God, free me, set me free, deliver me, take this weight from me, oh God. And he said, okay, go do this. And after 1, 2 days of doing that, and it didn't work the way you thought it should, you went right back and picked up the old thing that wasn't working or you weren't happy with in the first place. He said, if you would just stand still long enough to get the next step, I will show you. So I'm at that place in my life. God, why am I here? The whole time I was living here in Florida, I was complaining. What am I here for? I'm not working. I'm not making any money. I'm not doing anything here. I'm paying this rent. I don't want to pay this rent. I could be spending this money on a mortgage. And I did that for the whole 3 years almost that I've been here. And God said, just do what I tell you and then just wait for the next instruction. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. You just do what I said. You just do what I said. Are you struggling? No. Are you in lack? No. So then why are you complaining about how much rent money you spend on rent and what a waste it is if I told you to be there? Why are you counting my pocket, says the Lord? Why are you trying to judge my bank account, says the Lord? Who told you to check my assets? They're too vast. You can't check them if you want to. So I'm bringing it here. Steadfast, firmly loyal. The word is loyalty. It's loyal. Loyal means I don't give up on you or turn my back on you when times get rough. Loyal means I'm sticking by you to the end of the end of the end of the end. Loyal means whether I agree with you or disagree with you, I love you and stand by you. Loyal means it doesn't make a difference what it looks like. I'm by your side. I got your back. Steadfastness to God means that we're loyal. We're loyal to Him, whether it looks right or not, whether it seems fair or not, whether it seems to be going our direction or not. Rather, it looks like everything is going in my favor on His instruction. Or not, I have to be loyal to him. I have to stand by him. And I have to make a decision before myself, before God, that you have never failed me. And I hate the fact that church people love saying that. He ain't failed me yet. All right. But have you failed him yet? Oh, yeah. Again and again and again. Okay. Well, doesn't he deserve the loyalty that he's given to you? So I'm saying, God, I want to be loyal. I want to be steadfast. I want to be loyal firmly. I want to trust what you're saying no matter what at the end. Even if you get emotional and feel crazy, listen to me close, make the decision, but I will not move. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Make a decision. Yeah, I may feel frustrated. I may feel whatever, but I'm sticking with you, Lord. I'm standing by you, Lord. I'm going with what you said. Does it make sense? Maybe not, but my heart knows it's you and I'm not moving. Constant, non-wavering. So let's go back to this constant. It's consistent. We got that. But the unwavering. And this is where I want to bring it home because this wavering, unwavering part hit me really, 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 really strong. I think it's James 1, 5. Is it 5? You must stand in faith, nothing wavering. For he who wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. It's James 1 something. It's somewhere there in James. It's 5? Okay, it doesn't matter. You can look it up. You got a Bible. For he who wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Steadfast, listen, unwavering. There's a consequence to wavering. Let not that man believe he will receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man or person is unstable in all their ways. So you must be steadfast, meaning you stand even when all odds look against you, but don't waver. If you waver, let not that man believe he will receive anything from the Lord. And I took this one to heart in a different way today, this time. Watch this. I've always read it, but he is like the who wavers, it's like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and toss. God ain't gonna give you nothing. God don't like you, and he don't like your wavering, and he's not gonna give you nothing. Am I the only one who took it that way? He who like the wave of the sea driven with the wind, let not that man believe he will receive anything from the Lord. And God's saying, because you waver, I'm not giving you nothing. Is it me? Only did somebody else take it that way? Let me see. Yeah, right. God showed me something today as he took me with this. He said, no, it's not that you won't receive anything from you, me, because I'm punishing you and not giving it to you. Because you waver and you're not steadfast, you're not there when the blessing comes. You're not in the place you need to be to receive what you're supposed to receive. You can't receive anything from me, not because I'm not giving it. I'm always a giver. You won't receive anything from me because you will never be where you need to be when I show up with your blessing. You won't be around. You'll be over here, you'll be over there, you'll be pushed to the left, you'll be pushed to the right. And I talked about this last week about the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And I said, most of us don't even get to number three, where the angel gets to come and minister, right? Well, you don't withstand or the attacks of the enemy, where now when the angels come to bring the answer to God's prayer, you're not even there. So a person who wavers, you're pushed all over the place. And when God arrives, he arrives where he arrives. What do you mean? When he told him be at the Red Sea, that's where he wanted them. That's where he was going to party. What if they decided, well, we're not staying here at this Red Sea, we're going to go over to the Blue Sea? You follow what I'm saying? What if they had moved from the place where God planned to drown Pharaoh's armies? What if they had given up and gone somewhere else? Let not that man believe he received anything from the Lord when he wavers is based on one thing and one thing only. You're not being steadfast. So you're not in the place to receive the instruction and direction you need when you need it, and you're not still enough to get to see the full deliverance of God. Be steadfast. God's not a bully. He's not mean. He's not up there looking for the opportunity to take your blessing from you because you just didn't do right. And God don't bless no mess and all this junk that church people say. God does bless a mess because we are a mess. And he keep on blessing us. Come on now. If God didn't bless a mess, all of us are doomed. God blesses a mess every day, all day, every moment of the day. God bless. He love his little messy children. He love them just like you would love yours. He know he got to clean the poop and the puke off of you. He knows who you are. He love you. He love you in your mess. But he's saying, if you don't stand steadfast on the promises that I give you and gave you, you will never be around on your time of your arrival of your manifestation. Men and women of God, be steadfast, unmovable, unshakable. Be steadfast. The answer to God's word. The promises of God are all yea and amen. You make a decision not to move, not to be tainted, and not to be trifled with by the enemy when you're standing for God's goodness in your life. You have to make that choice. I have to make that choice. I've made it. I'm not moving. I will remain steadfast. In Jesus' name, amen.